Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport Intern Special, a series of podcasts in which we speak to the movers and shakers within the Olympic movement. My name is Ashish Sharma. Well, in this episode, we have a chat with one of the most successful CEOs of any sporting international federation. It's the CEO of USA Track and Field, Max Siegel. Max has overseen in the last 12 years that he's been in charge US athletes performing well in the Olympics and the World Championships, topping the tables and getting the most medals. So I began by asking him how he became involved in track and field, given that his background was more in entertainment.
I have been a sports and entertainment lawyer for the last 31 years. I began my career with a big law firm where we represented many of the governing bodies for Olympic sport. Canoe, kayak, diving, swimming, gymnastics, skiing. My journey from there was on the talent side, representing professional athletes and entertainers, which led me to two opportunities, being in-house at Warner Brothers Music. And then I served on the global management team for Sony BMG. And while I was there, I was recruited to go be the president of Dale Earnhardt Incorporated, which was one of the largest NASCAR franchises in the sport. And while I was there, I saw a tremendous opportunity to expand participation for minority and women athletes, as well as diversify the fan base. But during my tenure there, I was asked to join the board of USA Track and Field as an independent member. And I was intrigued by that opportunity because I felt that while the organization had always achieved tremendous athletic success, that I felt that there was room for improvement on the business side of our federation. So after 3 years on the board, there was leadership change. The organization went a couple of years with interim leadership, and then the board asked me if I'd be willing to take on the position as chief executive officer. So I am now in my 12th year of doing that, which feels like 100 years. But I've been here in this role. May 1st was my 11th anniversary, so that is the most concise version of my
job. It's a great background. The USA is hugely successful in athletics worldwide, but how does the sport rank in comparison to some of the what I suppose we would regard as a more traditional sports? You know, like when we look outside of the US, where we see gridiron, football, baseball, basketball, of course, NASCAR racing as well. So where does it sort of battle alongside with these traditional sports?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I think about it quite often and in many ways. And I would say that one of the things that track and field athletics enjoys globally is that it is a global sport with the ability to have global cultural impact. As technology has changed, as the sports landscape has become cluttered, and how we measure engagement is pretty fluid. I've seen a couple of things. You know, when I travel around the world and I watch the passion associated with the sport, and then I look in the United States, where in middle school and high school, athletics is still the highest participatory sport in school. And also domestically, we have 45 million or more people who identify themselves as runners. I'd say that the sport is incredibly healthy. What I've seen is as the choices for entertainment have become broader, the visibility and the connection has dropped off. And so we have got to make a concerted effort to capitalize on both what we have with the World Championships and the Olympics to put our amazing athletes in front of people. So the direct answer to the question is, I want to say, and I don't have this exactly in front of me, that we probably sit around 15 in terms of ranking. And we have a very aggressive goal by LA 2028 to be viewed as in the top five as far as engagement and brand recognition as a sport.
Let's look back on those 12 years. What do you feel you've managed to achieve? I mean, you've been described as a marketing genius. What are you proud about? What has been, the thing that you said, yeah, I wanted to do that and I've gotten there. And what more still needs to be doing? I assume if you say you're ranked at 15, so you're probably looking higher up that table at some point.
Yeah, so we're the only country in the world that does not receive any support from our government. And we also, as a federation, governing body, we don't receive philanthropy or, donations. And so 70% of our revenue to support our programming, our high performance support, all of the educational opportunities, fan engagement, comes from corporate sponsorship that I have to go out and raise. And so what I'm most proud of is that we were fairly stagnant with no new sponsors, and we had lost key sponsors when I took over. We have been able to bring in 19 new partners, and we've literally driven over $600 million in new revenue over the, and it's give us, it has stabilized our organization for some time, but it's also allowed us to increase our operating budget and our program funding in every segment of our organization by at least 300%. With all of that said, I am incredibly driven, and I feel like we've only scratched the surface of what our potential revenue opportunities are. And so while the public gets to see the most high profile aspects of our sport, whether it's in the Olympics or the World Championships, we have a tremendous amount of diversity in our programs. We have youth programs, we do coaches education, we recruit and train officials, we have masters athletes that participate, we have tons of different disciplines within track and field, whether it's mountain, ultra trail, race walking, and so what I enjoy and I think that we do a really good job at is at the grassroots level, really providing opportunities for people to participate. I frankly believe that it is not a stretch that we could double our size and revenue within the next 5 years, 5 to 6 years leading up to the Olympics and afterwards. So if I had any challenge for myself and my team, it would be to continue to reposition our brand and really go out aggressively to get more engagement and increase our membership and our level of funding.
And I guess kind of linked to that is your creativity. You've just had the LA Grand Prix, the inaugural event. I was going through the press release that came out of it. There was some disappointment that a lot of the big stars in the end, through various injuries or what have you, weren't able to participate. Was that a bit of a disappointment, a damn squib? And how do you see that progressing? And perhaps also touch on us on a little bit about the thinking behind it all.
Yeah, so several things. First and foremost, what we did was we piloted a new model for a professional domestic circuit. We tried to not overthink it. We tried to not overanalyze it. We understood that there was a risk involved. And what I will say on the positive side is we had over 7,000 people for a first time event show up, and the energy for the excitement of the competition was actually a pleasant surprise for me. One of the things that I see as a challenge in Olympic sports in general is the nature of how the athletes make the team. You know, it's always evolving. You have young talent. Our Olympic team typically has 50% of the team are athletes that no one's ever heard of, which is good and bad. From a marketing standpoint, you know, you want to build brands, you want to make things a household name. But the good news is there are so many up and coming talented athletes. So for me, the nature of the sport and the challenge associated with the quote unquote big names is you really do have to trust the judgment of the coaches. And you really have to understand that injury in this sport is unlike injury in many of the other sports. So it's always a blow to your marketing efforts or a setback or maybe a disappointment to the fans. But, you know, it is a challenge that's real. However, if you go to any of those meets and you see the professional athletes competing at that level, I think it's the general public typically doesn't have a good frame of reference with how amazing they are, whether you know them or not, right? And so the first thing that we have to do is we have to continue to promote the fact that our elite and professional athletes globally are superior regardless of who they are. And then the second thing is, yes, we do have to encourage, market, and promote, you know, head-to-head competitions with our best athletes. But even more importantly, we have to tell the stories and build the brands of these emerging athletes in general. And I often refer to other television properties that the property and the competition itself, people understand you'll see excellence. So if it's on the entertainment side and you see shows, whether it's like American Idol or The Voice or The X Factor, well, over the course of time, people tune into that broadcast because they know they're going to see amazing talent that they don't even know. Or you look at something domestically like American Ninja Warrior. Well, it is all about getting invested in this backstory and an emotional attachment to the participation of the athletes. So there are a few things that we have to do simultaneously. And while it is critically important to focus on the athletes, I think we got to promote our industry and our sport globally and the fact that we have amazing athletes.
Yeah. It's interesting you talk there about the superior quality and level of track and field at the USA. I mean, you topped the medal table in Tokyo. Do you feel the pressure that they really have to be always excellent to be able to bring in that revenue?
Well, yes and no. I think that for us, we've tried to set a high standard for achieving excellence. And I think that culturally, you know, we've tried to ingrain in the DNA of USA track and field that we need to be as commercially excellent and pursuing it as our athletes do on the field of play. And so inherent to our organization, we have all of these objective metrics on our business side to say, hey, are we the number one federation? And it's everything from fan engagement, incremental revenue, athlete support, our relationships with our international federation, our other federations in the region. And so rather than just measuring that from an anecdotal or an emotional standpoint, we try to, as clearly as we possibly can, put objective metrics in there. Yeah, of course, there's a lot of pressure because, you know, no matter what, no matter where you are in your professional life or personal, you know, when you're on the top, there's no other place to go but down, right? And so there's high expectations of repeat performance. You know, it's interesting for me because people are highly critical and they analyze it. And I rarely get an opportunity to take a step back and say, hey, even though the United States topped the medal charts, they're still the best of the world. It's typically, well, they didn't get as many medals as they did in the last competition, or, you know, this discipline didn't place the way that they are. And so for me, I have to give tremendous credit to our coaches, our staff, our teams, our athletes, that as a team, I think that we show up and represent our country and perform at a very high level. But the pressure, certainly on the business side and the athletic side, is constant.
Well, those were the thoughts there of Max Siegel, the CEO of USA Track and Field. So thanks for listening. And don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest that's happening in the world of sport by subscribing to the Sport Inter newsletter, produced every day, Monday to Friday. But until next time, stay safe.